Hello, John.
All right.
Welcome to...
Hello, Gavin. Don't do the intro for me, you bastard. Just because you're the big-time winner doesn't mean you can take over the show. Welcome, everyone, to How to Make a Podcast in South Africa. I'm Jonathan Varnker, your host and MD of the SAPG and exhausted organizer of the South African Podcast Awards. Gavin Kennedy is here from Solid Gold Podcasts and Audiobooks. And
hey, that's
he
me.
Is represent... That's you. Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Today is going to be a slightly rambly, side questy conversation as we talk about awards, the awards that have just been, the concept of awards, what makes a show award worthy. If you want to tune your show for awards, we can give you some advice. If you don't care about them, then continue not caring about them. That's fine. And we want to start a little bit with Solid Gold's wins, because you guys clocked up 11 wins this year, which is the most of any indie or network producer. So first of all, well done.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Solid Gold Storytime took home four, was it four awards?
Four, yeah. Three golds and a silver, yeah.
Then you had The Power of Sleep with Ristonic, Z Alpha with Dina
Story
Corbry,
Explorer,
on Z Alpha. Echo Dupasani. So, yeah, an incredible haul. What do you attribute that success to?
Entering lots of podcasts.
Right. Fire 1,000 bullets and 10 of them will hit.
John, I think we're going to have an interesting conversation as we go down why we have awards and what they do and what they achieve and what they actually measure. Mm. What's really interesting in this is that Pietru's podcast On Change was one of our first podcasts we started. Mm. We've got a wall of fame up here in our studios with hundreds and hundreds of cover art pictures on it. But when we started, there were three or four, and that was one of them. So that podcast has been going for a long time now, where Story Explorer has only been going... And Storytime are both podcasts that were started this year. I can't even say if you hang in there for 10 years, there's just something about making content that resonates with who the judges are at that time. And if the podcast is doing what the category says it's supposed to do, and we're going to expand on that just now, I'm sure, because that would have been one of the biggest challenges you faced in categorizing how to group them and how to score them. But... There's a saying that technology becomes really useful when it becomes invisible. You don't notice electricity. It's just there. It's in the walls and it works. Quality of a podcast is one of those things that you should never notice. It's right. In its absence that you go, ooh, that sounds dodgy. So as a given, mic levels should be good. Noise should be reduced. Compression limiting. It should sound right. Yeah. So that's the absolute starting point, and we work very hard to make sure that any podcast we work on meets those standards. Then you're able to say, what's the content? What are we listening to? And you're not distracted by quality. And I know that's a challenge for people starting out. It's not a given that everybody can make great-sounding podcasts.
If you don't have the space is the main thing. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But 100% agreed. We had 283 entrants into this year's show. I think in the first cut, the directors cut that down to about 200. So we lost about 80 shows just because within 10 seconds of listening to them, we thought to ourselves, this is not going to win an award. Like the production quality is not high enough to justify any kind of award here. So cool, cut. And then those remaining 200 at least stood a chance. And then when you look at the finalists, every one of those for me would show up in an international show and at least compete.
Yeah, I think quality is table stakes.
Invisible quality. Yeah. It's table stakes, 100%. Yeah.
That's quite a big number, John. 200. Wow.
You judged 50 of them. So let's talk about that. You were a judge and you were given quite a wide range of shows of categories to judge. You judged comedy, knowledge, science and tech, sports and personal growth and spirituality, and then politics and opinion, which only had two entrants. So that was a wide range. So let's talk about, first of all, your impressions of the competition, the quality level in general of what you judged, and then let's talk about categories.
It's difficult to start anywhere but the middle. Some of the production quality was a bit lower than I expected, given who was making it. I was a little surprised by some of them and going, oh, I thought the production would be better than my impression of who was making it was that the production would be better. Now, I don't know if that's budgetary or lack of skill, but it's certainly something that's not hard to fix, given that they were finalists and made it to the shortlist. So I think there's room for people to be trained better. even if they're hobbyists. And that's something that the SABG has got to say, where's our role in that? Are we facilitating workshops? How can we help get those table stakes up? What, one of the things I really love about podcasting and what we actively encourage clients to do is to focus on the narrowest niche you can if it's a corporate or commercial podcast. If you're going to be a influencer and you want to be a Joe Rogan, then you have to go wide. But if you're going narrow, then you start creating these categories that you don't have in the competition. So, right, we've got comedy. Okay, but this stand-up comedy, or is it three people around the table comedy? And I would encourage people to choose a niche and own it so that you can't be in a category with all the other comedians because you own your space. And therein lies the challenge. How do I compare stand-up comedian with a satirical, tongue-in-cheek political analysis comedy show? How do you rate them? How do you grade? Worse than that, what if I don't find your sense of humor funny? What if it doesn't appeal to my sense of humor? Oh, I don't think that's funny. So yeah, these are some of the challenges we have. I think they were mitigated by having a broad range of judges. I think you can't just have one person listening and say good, bad, indifferent. I listened to a number of podcasts I hadn't heard before, and that was useful for me. I'm very set in my ways. I have my 10 or 20 podcasts, and I kind of cycle through them and listen to them every day or week. So it's really hard to break a new one into my list and another one out, just even though I'm listening to many of them at 1.5-2 times speed. There's only so much time available to listen. Yeah. So this was a great opportunity to hear some of them. I've seen these people in the chats and seen their questions, and then to align that with, oh, that's the podcast. And it was really useful for me. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, so if I look at your production scores, they were on average some of the toughest of any of the judges, averaging 40s, 50s, and 60s out of 100 in general. What do you think the most common fault was in production?
Don't know how to use a mic, don't know how to compress your audio, don't know how to normalize levels, don't know how to get your guests similar level, understanding that just because a sound wave looks the same height as the one next to it doesn't mean they sound the same volume. It's just some basic stuff. And I get that that's decades of experience and doing this and being a bit of a purist. But if there's three people sitting around a table having a conversation, I'd like to hear them sound the same loudness.
Sure.
Absolutely. I think that's important. If the guest has a better microphone than the host, I've got a problem with that because then I get confused around who's leading the conversation.
Right.
Those are things that really shouldn't be wrong. If you've done more than 3-4 podcasts and it looks like you're going to keep doing a few, buy a decent microphone. Don't use the built-in laptop. Put it closely. Make sure your sound is good. We understand sometimes your guest is far away and they're in a noisy room. We get that. But the host audio should be good. The levels should be. So very high standards on that. Very sticky on that for me.
And that is leveling, normalization, compression. Those are the kind of slightly advanced audio engineering techniques. But if you are... like I have been a Descript podcast creator, then you trust the magic tools that do all that stuff for you and that can lead you astray. They're not right for every situation.
I think Descript is an interesting one. All of that AI-assisted stuff, it's improving so rapidly. But there are a couple of podcasts I really love, overseas ones. But when you listen to them, you can hear they've used an AI to clean them up because they've just said truncate silences. And they've reduced the silences where they shouldn't have. So a person's made a profound statement, then there's a deep question, and then there's this thoughtful pause, and the pause is gone. Yeah. And it just sounds completely unnatural. You've asked me a deep question, I didn't even think about it, and I came back with the answer, no. And AI is not doing that right yet. So depending on the nature of your conversation, it might not matter. But in some conversations, you're completely devaluing the answer by doing that. Horses for courses. Not everyone's got a budget to go into post. Not everyone can pay an editor. There's no one answer, especially if you're starting out.
It's a thing, yeah. But let's not go down to the
We've gone quite deep
the
AI there, Andrew.
Descript thing, yeah.
I was a little surprised by the lower quality from some of the bigger players. That was unusual. And lovely to hear some of the quality from some of the smaller people who get it. And... really cool to see how narrow some of the niches were. Angling and spinning, that's cool, man. It's cool to see something. Yeah. I'm never going to go to a spinning event, but to see somebody so passionate about it and some of the trail running, there's some narrow niches there. And I think those are the people that are going to, over time, bubble to the top in terms of quality and content and sponsorship and all sorts of wonderful things are going to happen in those worlds.
Yeah, I agree. And the production quality of Spin Sessions is with Vic Pardell is amazing. They've got a whole team working on that stuff. And I don't know, I've listened to some of the show, I've seen some of the show, but I don't know their structure and who's paying for all that quality, because it's incredible. And Mogul Pictures produces it.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether it's a passion project or not.
Yeah, one of the things we tell clients when they come into the studio and they sit down and we do sound checks, what do you have for breakfast? What's your favorite fruit? Get some levels. 3, 2, 1, hit record. And they suddenly transition from having a conversation to hello and in the house. And who's this person? Where'd you come from? No. You changed your level, you changed your voice, you changed your whole behavior. And that tends to happen more if there's a camera in the room. The camera comes on and people are just this whole different person. But it's not authentic. And then you meet the person, you're going, you're nothing like you are on your. So sometimes people are playing this persona role. And I saw a fair amount of that with some of them. It was like, we're doing a podcast and we have to speak this different way as if we are emulating who we think the ideal podcast host is. And unless you're parodying or satirical, just be who you are and speak the way you are. You don't have to emulate somebody else to be a podcast host.
And I think that's where radio and news have dug into our culture and into our minds.
They have a lot to answer for.
Yeah, exactly. Like, welcome to WX3201KM. Like, all that kind of nonsense.
Coming up next, that was, it's 3:05. Yeah.
Then you look at Joe Rogan, completely unaffected, doesn't do anything except be himself. So if you want to learn from the biggest, that's something that he does right, is that he doesn't try to be.
So what was your question again? Because we've gone so sideways. It was on the.
Well,
the
we're talking about just on your judging. So production, you were tougher. Now we understand that. Hosting was another category in which you were tougher. I imagine that's got to do with mic technique. But what are some of the other trip ups that people make when hosting a show? And affectation, of course, being one of those.
Yeah, that's on the list. If you and I are doing a show where we're shooting the breeze and talking about what's happening in the world, then we can have equal mic time. You know, if we open the audio in a project, I would expect to see a checkerboard. You, me, you, me, you, me. A little bit longer, a little bit shorter. If I'm hosting a show, I am not the hero. Joe Rogan is not trying to be the hero. He's trying to facilitate an extraction of value and data and conversation from the person. So when you look at the audio on that, now and again, he'll say, okay, here's some context, here's a personal story. But most of the time, he's asking and then letting the person speak. If you've got your own podcast, you don't have to impress me by telling me how smart you are and how clever you are. Don't put forward answers to the question you've asked. So, John, how was it judging the awards? I imagine it was tough. Was it a long day for you? No. What are you going to say? Yes.
Yeah. Open-ended questions.
So, how was it judging? I don't need to show off that I know what the possible answers are. So I'd really stop trying to impress us with you. Impress us with how you extract value from the guests and that you're speaking to.
Yeah. And I think that kind of prompting actually comes from a place of empathy and that they want to give someone a springboard as to where to start off rather than just open. Because it does also feel quite like, what did you think of the show? Is a very open-ended question to drop on someone if they haven't seen the script beforehand.
Active listening. A little bit of rapport at the start. You can't fake. You've got to have a little idea about the person. You can't fake building rapport. You actually have to listen and have a meaningful statement. Something has to trigger the rapport. And sometimes it takes a little bit longer. Maybe you cut that whole rapport building bit out of the podcast. But a person's got to feel comfortable with you before they're going to open up. The point being, in terms of hosting, stop trying to show off. Just your show will speak for itself if the guest is revealing what you say the show is going to reveal.
And this is my opinion, but it feels to me that if there's a spectrum of asking the question and then, as you say, extracting the answer and just monologuing over your guest, Joe Rogan is somewhere in the middle in that he does a fair amount of opinionating himself. He actually speaks more, I would say, than most hosts do, but that's because he's also a celebrity and it's very much his show. So just about the criteria then, because we judged, and this is a little bit of learnings from me here, we judged on production quality, content quality, hosting, innovation and creativity, and cover art. We originally had engagement as a category as well. Before partway into the judging, we realized that very few people build engagement in the terms that I understand it, in terms of a Q&A, a phone in, reading the comments and then working that into your next episode, whatever it might be. So we took that out, even though I believe that if engagement is the yardstick by which podcasts are judged as different to radio, TV, and YouTube, I think there should be more of it in there. I'm now opinionating myself here. But what do you think about the engagement issue and innovation and creativity as a criteria?
Engagement is, that's the holy grail. We want people to engage, but it's also the hardest to measure. Downloads don't equal engagement. It's downloads versus listen-throughs and so on. That just tells you that it resonated and people want to listen to the whole thing. I walk into a supermarket and I hear a 30-second spot. There's zero engagement, but I had to listen. And just remembering that there's two kinds of podcast, one where it's a media offering and one where it's a delivery of strategic communication. If it's a media offering, then it's going to sound a lot like radio. It's going to sound a lot like television. You won't believe what's going to come up later. You won't believe what John's going to say next. Hang around. It's got a real surprise for you. We're doing that to drag you along to hear the next ad break. Unashamedly, that's its purpose. Mm-hmm. But when we have the content, like some of the winners that were in there, the Investec stuff and the organ donor stuff, what's engagement there? You're not going to listen to that randomly. It's, I've got a family member that is affected. We're not trying to trick you into listening to 30 minutes. You're listening to 30 minutes because you want to listen to it and it's important and it resonates and answers a question and gives you context and so forth. So that's very different. The fact that in the first few seconds we hear this is about organ donation. I'm either in or I'm out. And you should be out quickly if it's not for you, and you should be there the whole way if it is for you. The other one is how baity is your content? How like conventional media is it? So it's difficult to put those two on a scale and say that one's really engaging, that one isn't, because they have different purposes and different target audiences. Just by making a podcast, that's innovative. We don't have to have live crossing to an organ donor in a hospital. We don't have to do that for it to be creative. Try get clients to build calls to action and requests for real-world engagement into their content. Send us a voice note, send us an email if you have questions. You want real-world feedback and engagement, and perhaps you've got to get a bit creative about what those are, voice notes and emails and so forth, as a way of creatively encouraging engagement. But not every podcast warrants it.
Yeah, which brings us to the idea of an awards show and the idea of a podcast that is awards worthy, right? Because very many internationally famous and amazing shows do not include things like, oh, let's do a quick quiz or a sidebar or a Q&A or whatever it might be. And sometimes they rest on celebrity. Smartless is three incredible comedians, actors, and entertainers having a conversation, and they have a little bit of a creativity in that you don't know who the guest is. Someone's picked a guest and then they reveal it after their initial chatter. But plenty of shows don't need segments and bits and pieces and all that kind of thing. But if you do have segments and bits and pieces in an awards show where one of the judgment criteria is innovation and creativity, you're going to get more points. That's just the way it is.
Monkeys. Fish and bicycles,
Exactly, fish and bicycles. So I do want to say to the people who have entered and either didn't get finalists or didn't win, that there are shows that are tuned on purpose or not on purpose for awards, right? So let's talk about Solid Gold Storytime, which won 4 awards and is an example of an awards horse, in that if our criteria are production, the production was amazing. They've got a musician who's doing music that responds to the content. As Lynn reads the script, the music goes up and down and becomes more interesting or louder or softer, and it's amazing in production. In content, Lynn is writing scripts. If you've got a scripted show, you're going to do better than a off-the-cuff conversation with someone, especially in the society and culture, let's just have a chit-chat stuff, right? In terms of hosting, she's got a great voice. She speaks with intonation, and because of the very nature of the content that she's making, she's telling a story, and therefore the hosting is more intentional. Of course, it's creative. It's for children. It's stories. It's creative intrinsically. And cover art was average. I think Lynn said it was AI generated. Yeah. But when you get 4 out of 5 of those things, you're going to succeed. Whereas if creativity isn't core to your show, like let's say you're having a business chat show, like that might not be one of the core things that you work on. Yeah. What are your thoughts now that I've finished my monologue?
I think I'm going to step sideways and maybe we'll come back to how to answer that. But these highlight the challenges we have with awards. Right?
Mm.
Part of the definition of what is a podcast has to be dealt with before next year. Before next year's award, yes. What is a podcast?
Yeah.
That sounds obvious until you try and unpack it. It's not obvious. And we need to just be a little bit clearer on what is a podcast.
Mm.
And then the realization that we need more categories. Solid Gold Story Time is very distinct in what it is. It's very difficult to compare that against two people having meaningful conversations that help people find direction and purpose in their life. It's difficult to put those in a scale and say that one's the winner and that one isn't. So I think right. I think we're going to need more categories and more nuance, perhaps.
Mm.
And that's a danger, but an opportunity. So instead of there being 10, 12, 15 categories, we might end up with 20, 30, 40 categories. That's also sure. Okay.
If I may interrupt with an example, specifically with Solid Gold Storytime is almost audio fiction, in what it is audio fiction, but it's for kids. Then you've got Ilana Africa's Parents and Baby Brunch, which is conversations about parenting. They're in the same category because they're in the kids, family, and parenting category, which that's a huge swathe, you know. Then you've got Z Alpha, which is conversations about technology and Gen Z and how it's changing society and culture and all that. Like, those three things are so different and they're in the same category.
You put them in the scale and say which one's the winner. Yeah. What you've also got to watch out for is, what's the alternative? Okay, let's nominate them all and let's ask people to vote. Now the person with the biggest marketing budget is going to drive the most votes. The person with the biggest influence.
Ilana Africa wins. Thanks for coming, everyone.
Yeah. Jackpods uses the radio station, promotes it, and the bubble. So that's not what we're trying to do. That's more what the Telkom Radio Awards do. Yes, there's some judging and what have you, but they really encourage thousands and thousands of people to vote for their favorite morning DJ. So there's some skewing in going that way. Let's just go back to why awards. It feels like hundreds of people are putting in a lot of work. And have you ever been 10-pin bowling?
Yes.
Okay. So imagine we go 10-pin bowling, but we put a curtain over the front of the pins. And you roll the ball down, and you hear clatter. Mm. And the machine resets and comes back, and the ball comes back. You go, bowl again, John. You go, but hang on, which pins did I knock down? I heard I knocked some down, but I don't know which ones. Right. Well, you throw the ball again, you're not going to get better. Part of what we're trying to do is give people, let's lift the curtain and show you a little bit about what you did, what you could have done better. It's not a perfect system, but it's a form of feedback to people, the awards. We think this is a good one. Why do we think Storytime is a good one? It's well produced, it's well thought out. Why does Nicole keep winning true crime? There are a lot of people making true crime because she makes damn good true crime. But I think what we're trying to do with awards is give people feedback collectively. We think these are good. Don't have to agree. If you think you can do better than that, then make one and enter it next year and win it.
So that's okay. So now we're going to get into a brainstorm here, because this is something that I've been thinking about, because I hate that award shows don't give feedback, that it's an invisible. First of all, I made the judging criteria very visible. This is how we are judging. This is the point system. And we started with a point system that would have created multiple golds, silvers, and bronzes, because it was anything 70 plus gets bronze, 80 plus gets silver, 90 plus gets gold. Because of the vagaries of judging and the fact that it's really hard to get 12 different judges on the same page as to what good is, I had to change that to make it a gold, silver, bronze situation. Getting to my point here, feedback. We're now finished with the awards, and I'll put the call out now, and I'll put it out into the community and into the people on the pod list and all that. If you want feedback, I will give it to you. I'm not going to show you other people's scores, but I will tell you what the judges thought of your show. I think that the producers would like to know, where was I weak, where was I strong, and get some kind of feedback. What I'm struggling with is, what is the best way to do it? Because if I say to 283 people, I'm going to give you feedback, and I get 283 phone calls. I won't. I'll get 50 phone calls, but that's still a lot of phone calls. So how do I effectively?
That wasn't what you set out to achieve with this. Look, I'm very much a ready, fire, aim person. If we were still aiming, we would still be discussing how to do the score sheets and what have you, and we wouldn't have done an awards this year. So it's happened. Could it be better? Yes. Could it be worse? Yes. Okay. What do we want to do next year? We should be guided by the 300, and by the time we get to this next year, it's going to be more than double. We're going to have 600-700 podcasts by the time we get to next year's award. So what do people think we got wrong this year?
I have one piece of feedback immediately. I got an email from one of the creators saying, you renounced finalists, but they were never mentioned on the night of the award show. So I was disappointed.
So you only saw that.
There's the three winners.
I made it to the top five or 10 and you didn't.
Yeah, cool.
But you were focused on not doing a two-hour.
Yeah, not doing a two-hour show. It would have added 40 images, 40 captions and 20 slides to my presentation. But it probably would have only added about 10 minutes to the show. And I think that would have been worth it. I just didn't have the bandwidth and I didn't think about it. But we will fix that next year.
Sample size of small. Some of our clients were just so happy that somebody else other than the people they had shared their podcast with recognized it and thought it was worthy of being in a shortlist. Didn't have to win, didn't have to be in the final three. It's just like somebody else outside my bubble has heard it and thought it was worth going forward to being considered for an award. That's feedback. You've been seen. You've been heard. I don't think they were under any illusion that they were making an award-winning podcast, and I don't think they were trying to. Very few people that we work with are trying to make award-winning podcasts. The award-winning is a consequence. And if you compare the APVA awards and the SAPG awards, we had very different ones bubble through to the top from two different awards competitions. And I'm surprised that there were a couple that I thought really should have gone through and should have been winners and didn't make it even in a shortlist. And it was that was a surprise.
Yeah. To briefly get specific on that, you produced two fantastic shows called From the Hip with Benji Moody and Shotgun Story, both music and entertainment shows.
Yeah, the music category. Yeah.
And the music and entertainment category could also possibly split into various subcategories, but it was the toughest category, I would say.
Yeah. And just there, music and entertainment. Wow, those are quite different. And even within music, both of those are interview music things, not people talking about music, not securing famous people as guests. How do you weigh up a deep conversation with an artist I've never heard of versus, ooh, you got 15 minutes with a famous person? You're putting those on the scale and saying, choose one. Those are the challenges we have to deal with for next year and say, for me, I think some of the opportunities are which categories were stuffed with talent. And did the fact that there were so many in there mean we should have split it into category, or not should have, should in future split music and entertainment into entertainment and lifestyle versus, and which categories had a dearth of content, and what are we doing to get people to make content in that space, or why do we have a category that nobody was in? What happened there? And that was interesting.
Yeah, let's highlight food, leisure, and travel, which is three things all together, and we still only had a four or five entry. There was one winner, but there were four or five shows that could have been finalists, but there were a number of things like they didn't reach the minimum amount of episodes published in the last year, the criteria. But that's politics and opinion, very small category, only two entrants there with the So What with JP and Rita Landman and Kletz. Then also small category,
the one that had nobody in it. What's that?
Fiction? Audio fiction. Yes. Audio fiction. And I think that we're going to see a surge in that category next year. Obviously, the Bairds have created Stripped, but I hope to see many more.
Nonfiction.
Which is nonfiction, completely. Thanks for that. So what do you call it? A radio play?
Technically, it's true crime. The dude was in jail.
Fair enough. Oh, man. But then when you consider the fact that, do you consider his jail time just? Did he commit a crime?
Now we need a whole
podcast. Was it only in the eyes of an apartheid government?
podcast categories. Lovely.
Okay.
John, off the top of your head.
Yeah.
It's been a year. It's been a hell of a year. Yeah. You started this thing. I don't know if you had a picture in your head of 100 members or two, but we ended up at 300. You had an awards. Do you think the awards went well?
I think they went really well. I think that the advantages were that Diego and his team, and also because I put a lot of time into it, I think they were produced well, and I think they looked good. They didn't look cheap, despite being an online
Completely agree. I think it was a wonderfully produced thing. Well done. But subsequently, you've had some serious media outlets promote the fact that they won an award. City Press publicized they're proud of their award. Jacaranda, proud of their award. This is not an inconsequential thing. Can it be better? Yes. Can we have tighter criteria? Yes. Can all categories? Yes. Notwithstanding, Kahisa Media and Jacaranda did well, and they promoted it, and they recognized it, and they thanked SABG and the judges. That's the kind of feedback that tells you the award had gravitas meaning. I don't know if anybody who sent you a hate mail saying, how dare you, my podcast should have won.
No, nothing like that, which I think is down to the type of community we are, and that people don't send hate mail. We've engaged with people like Gareth Cliff, who interviewed Lynn on his show, and obviously he is a media personality, and the Kahisa Media and them as well. The job of the awards is to, A, give people a yardstick for what quality is. And I think we've done that. I think the finalists and the winners are incredible quality, and I hope people will learn from them. It's to establish the SAPG and the SAPA as a thing, and I think it's done that. And it's to give us some momentum going into the next year. We've attracted 330 members this year. Our goal for the end of the coming year is 1,000. So let's go for that, even though that was my stated goal in for year one. So we didn't get anywhere close to that. But
thousand,
I knew at the time.
1,000 in year one.
That was our goal. Yeah. I mentioned
tell
it.
Tell everyone
it
was a typo. You meant 100.
Yes, I meant 100. Yeah. We've 3x'd our goal. But now that we've got some ducks in a row, what I actually will settle for is 300 in the first year, 300 in the second year, and 300 in the third year. If we get to 1,000 in year three, I'll be happy. But I feel like we can get there. But it'll come with its own challenges. For example, we had 12 judges and 200 shows, and they each had to judge 50 shows, which is a challenge. Imagine if we do double our entries. Next year, we will have to put in some kind of entry fee because we will have to pay the judges for their time. We will have to try and build up a budget to make a bigger and better show. What do you think about that?
I have always been quite reserved around the role of awards, because there's a danger for perversion to set in, perverse incentives. It's one of those things, clients feel comfort when they walk into the building and they see awards on the wall. But in most cases, the awards are for different thing from what the client's doing, but it still brings comfort. You know, you go see a doctor and it's got all those certificates on the wall. That's for stuff they did 10 years ago, 15 years ago, which was study and write tests and do some stuff. That's not what you're seeing them for. But it brings comfort. But somebody's done some due diligence and you're transferring that trust across. And some people, it lends that credibility. So you've got to take that very seriously. If you can't afford to enter, you can't win. And if you can't convince thousands of people in the public to vote for you, you can't win. You lose your credibility as the gatekeeper of trust.
Sure.
So I didn't give you an answer to what I would do. I just find it.
Sure.
I know it's hard. I know it's hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. And for example, the fact that we decided to make the criteria here was about the quality of the show. So we didn't include listening metrics, size of audience, any of that stuff.
It seems appropriate given the mission you're on, to help South African podcasters make better podcasts.
Yeah.
Then we're on track.
I hear you on perversion, though, because as a past member of the advertising industry, the Lurie Awards is its own thing, and it definitely
has set aside serious budgets just to enter those entries. It's huge. They take a chunk of the business and stop looking after clients and prepare our entries into the Luries. Dozens of people for months. Okay. Small agency, 5 people. Hard. Not to say you're not going to win, but you certainly, the deck is stacked against you. Yeah, we've got to watch out for that. So just find a sponsor to sponsor the awards, John. The Telkom Podcast Awards.
Yeah.
You've got this far, John. Don't bail at the end.
No, the nice thing is, I think because the year one went well, and if we grow and we are going to be introducing corporate tier memberships so that the bigger players can help us build the budget a little, then we will definitely be in a position that we have to pay judges next year, because it takes time. It takes hours of time. And we want to make sure that people are paid for their time.
Well, year one was a win, John. Well done, man.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for all your time and congratulations on your wins. We are going to wrap it up there. I think there's more to speak about. And if you have listened this far, congratulations. You're probably one of the 10% of the starting listeners. If you've got questions you specifically want answered, or concerns or ideas or feedback, you can email me at john@sapg.co.za. You can get in touch with me on the WhatsApp community or any other way. Gavin, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, John. It's an iterative process. The feedback we should ask for is start doing, stop doing, keep doing.
Yes, absolutely. And to that end, we will be holding an annual general meeting next month where everyone will be invited, and we'll have a conversation about the non-executive advisory board we want to set up so that we can get all these ideas from people who are keen to get involved but don't want to do the on-the-ground work, but they do want to have opinions, which everyone does have.
They want the cool merch.
Yeah, and you'll get cool hats and shirts and stuff.
The pop caps, branded windsocks. Yeah. John, well done, man. This was a concept and then a reality, and we've got some real pegs in the ground. Some real stuff happened in the world that moves podcasting forward. Well done.
Cool. Thank you very much, Gavin. And chat to you soon.
Thank you.